You're listening to Eagle Wings Online Radio, your messianic Christian music alternative.
Like what we do? Share this on your socials and tell everyone.
We hope you get blessed by this narrated sermon podcast from Pastor Chris.
Title: A Child is Born. A Child is Born. We are Eagle Wings Charismatic Ministries International, are we not? Often, we approach things a bit differently, more thought-provokingly. Today is no exception. It's Christmas Eve, and we're prepared to delve into the Gospel's message. We will read about the Christ child, Emmanuel, born on this earth to die on the cross of Calvary. He was born to establish a blood covenant with us, providing a highway of salvation, a path through the blood of the cross to God the Father. But let me not reveal too much just yet. Let us read together. Luke 2, 1-20, from the Common English Bible, describes Jesus' birth. Jesus' birth. In those days, Caesar Augustus declared that everyone throughout the empire should be enrolled in the tax lists. This first enrollment occurred when Quirinius governed Syria. Everyone went to their own cities to be enrolled. Joseph, belonging to David's house and family line, went up from the city of Nazareth in Galilee to Bethlehem in Judea, David's city. He went with Mary, who was promised to him in marriage and was pregnant. While they were there, the time came for Mary to have her baby. She gave birth to her firstborn, a son, wrapped him snugly, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the guest room. Announcement to shepherds. Nearby shepherds were living in the fields, guarding their sheep at night. The Lord's angels stood before them. The Lord's glory shone around them, and they were terrified. The angel said, "Don't be afraid. Look, I bring good news to you, wonderful, joyous news for all people. Your Savior is born today in David's city. He is Christ the Lord. This is a sign for you. You will find a newborn baby wrapped snugly and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great assembly of heavenly forces was with the angel, praising God. They said, "Glory to God in heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go right now to Bethlehem and see what's happened. Let's confirm what the Lord has revealed to us." They went quickly and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. Upon seeing this, they reported what they had been told about this child. Everyone who heard it was amazed at what the shepherds told them. Mary committed these things to memory and considered them carefully. The shepherds returned home, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. Everything happened just as they had been told. This event happened over 2,000 years ago. The wise men faced a long and dangerous journey, and hygiene was far from optimal. But now, let's ponder a what-if scenario. What if this didn't occur 2,000 years ago, but today? In today's world, the great leader of the United World Government issues a decree that everyone must re-register on the tax lists. Everyone must return to the town where they were born to issue an affidavit declaring their birthplace and current address of domicile. For me, this would mean traveling to the Netherlands to prove I was born in Vlaardingen, then providing my current address. Then we would also need to travel to Palma, Nebraska, where my beloved Wilma Jean was born and raised. But wait, it's slightly different. Joseph went to the city of David because they were from the line of David. Does this mean that we also need to follow our ancestry? In the past, there wasn't as much interstate or international travel as there is now. Oh, what a headache. Joseph was with his fiancée, who was pregnant, which in itself was a great shame. In our days, who cares? More babies are born outside the marriage relationship than inside it. Imagine all TV and radio being cancelled for this period, all media except government announcements. People were forced to travel, causing airfares, train tickets, and gas prices to skyrocket. How would we manage this? Can you see what an enormous headache this would be? So Joseph and Mary traveled to their hometown. After a long and grueling trip, they finally arrived. The Holiday Inn, fully booked. Novotel, booked solid. Grand Plaza Hotel, full. Best Western, forget it. The only place they could stay dry in the rainy season was a little space under a bridge. All those gas fumes were nauseating. Horses, cows, sheep, goats, dogs, cats, raccoons, possums, and skunks roamed around because everyone was traveling and there weren't enough people to take care of them. Near Bethlehem, some shepherds had grown up in the town and lived in an encampment near the fields to care for their flock. Then it happened. A bright light appeared. They shouted, "Oh my God!" One screamed, "The aliens are coming!" And another shouted, "No, you fool. Hollywood is making a new Armageddon movie." "Sorry, no, we didn't register yet. It's the government looking for us with their new jets and laser banks." Then a loud voice, like from a great surround sound system, was heard. "Oh, those Hollywood boys again," they said. "Come on, shut up for a minute. What are these guys saying?" "Don't be afraid. Look, I bring good news to you. Wonderful, joyous news for all people. Your Savior is born today in David's city. He is Christ the Lord. This is a sign for you. You will find a newborn baby wrapped snugly and lying under a bridge in a tunnel." Suddenly, a great assembly of heavenly forces was with the angel, praising God. They said, "Glory to God in heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." Can you imagine how a non-believer would react? Would they be in complete unbelief? I cannot imagine. They would laugh. Who believes in angels? Come on, let's get to our tents and check Google on the laptop. Let's see what really happened. Did anybody report this on Twitter or Facebook? The shepherds from 2,000 years ago would go and find out for themselves. The shepherds now would check if someone else had checked it out. What would you do? Would you check your social media accounts? What does Elon say about it on the Twitter feed X? "Oh, wow. So nobody has seen anything. Was this some top secret military thing? Okay, guys, let the dogs guard the sheep. Let's see if we can find that bridge, that baby." So they finally found the baby and started tweeting. Oh my goodness. Emperor Augustus relied on reports from wise people. But now we just access our social media to figure anything out. And with this, the location of baby Jesus was reported right away. Did you know this little fact? That the shepherds, 2,000 years ago, after listening to Mary and Joseph, went back and became the world's first evangelists. The shepherds in our current day wouldn't have survived. The supreme leader of the One World Government would have sent out a heat-seeking cruise missile, and Mary, Joseph, the baby, the shepherds, they would all be dead. Oh, indeed, I am thoroughly convinced that in such a modern-day retelling of the Nativity, God's protective hand would have shielded the baby Jesus, Mary, Joseph, and the shepherds. However, envisioning this event in the context of our contemporary world does bring forth an image that seems almost fantastical, akin to the grandiose narratives we see in Hollywood films. It's a tale that appears to be an exaggeration, bordering on the surreal. Such a scenario, had it unfolded in today's world, would have undoubtedly altered the course of history as we know it. The crucifixion, a pivotal moment in Christian theology, might not have occurred. The absence of Christ's sacrifice on the cross would mean the absence of the new covenant, a fundamental tenet of our faith. Without this, the New Testament's profound teachings, which serve as a cornerstone of Christian doctrine, might never have been written. Imagine, if you will, a world devoid of the grace and salvation that Christ's sacrifice brought. It's a daunting thought. The absence of salvation would leave humanity in a perpetual state of spiritual yearning, unable to reconcile with God and devoid of the hope that faith in Christ brings. The guidance and comfort provided by the Holy Spirit, a gift promised to believers, would be unknown. The notion of living without the Holy Spirit's presence, without the assurance of eternal life through Christ, is incomprehensible to me. It's akin to navigating a treacherous sea without a compass, devoid of direction and certainty. Yet, the reality is strikingly different, thanks to the birth of this miraculous child over 2 millennia ago. This baby, born in the humblest of settings, transformed the course of human history. His birth wasn't just a celestial event observed by shepherds and wise men, it was a divine intervention that rippled across kingdoms and empires. Monarchs and emperors, the most powerful figures of their times, recognized the significance of his birth. They bowed before him, acknowledging his divine kingship. This child, Jesus, brought with him not just life, but life in its most abundant form. He offered salvation, a path away from damnation, and a truth that cut through the falsehoods and misconceptions of the world. His teachings, his life, and his resurrection are the pillars upon which our faith stands. This is precisely why we continue to celebrate his birth every December. Although we acknowledge that this specific date might not be the exact date of his birth, its significance remains undiminished. It's a time for us to commemorate not just his birth, but his entire life, his teachings, his sacrifice, and his resurrection. It's a celebration of the hope he brought into the world, the hope that continues to light our paths and guide our lives. In celebrating Christ's birth, we reaffirm our faith and our commitment to his teachings. We celebrate the life that changed the world and continues to change lives today. It's a testament to his enduring legacy, a legacy that shapes our lives and offers us a glimpse of divine love and eternal life. John 8:12 from the Common English Bible. Jesus spoke to the people again, saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me won't walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." But Pastor, I can hear people say, "Don't you know that the whole Christmas celebration is filled with paganistic symbolism?" Pagans would bring fir trees into their homes at Yuletide because they represented everlasting life and fertility. The Druids believed trees were a gift from the Mother Goddess. As they helped mark time and seasons, they would decorate sacred oak trees with mistletoe and lights to represent the wisdom of life. Okay. Stop. I never grew up with all this nonsensical knowledge. This is what it means to me. We decorate our houses and put bright lights on them, showing that it is light, not darkness, that provides truth and an everlasting life. Not knowing about eternal life, Thomas asked, as we read in John 14 from the Common English Bible, John 14:5-7 from the Common English Bible. Thomas asked, "Lord, we don't know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you have truly known me, you will also know the Father. From now on, you know him and have seen him." Because of this glorious promise of eternal life, we engage in the cherished tradition of decorating our evergreen trees. This tree stands as a powerful symbol, representing Jesus Christ and his everlasting word. Just as the evergreen remains vibrant and alive throughout the harshest winters, so too does the message and promise of Christ endure. It does not succumb to the darkness of this world, for Christ himself is the eternal light that dispels all shadows. His word eternally alive and unchanging, offers the same hope and truth today as it did 2 millennia ago, and it will continue to do so for all time. In this season of celebration, we deck our halls with boughs of holly, their vibrant green leaves and bright red berries, reminding us of the everlasting life and sacrificial love of Christ. The holly serves as a symbol of his enduring presence, a reminder that even in the depths of winter, life prevails. As we adorn our homes, we not only beautify our surroundings, but also create a visual testament to our faith and the joyous nature of this season. Gathered in elegance and warmth, we come together around the hearth. The warmth of the fire kindles in us, a reminder of the warmth of God's love, enveloping and comforting us. It's in these moments, surrounded by family and loved ones, that we truly grasp the essence of the season: fellowship, love, and the celebration of the greatest gift ever given. We are called to join the angelic chorus, to raise our voices in harmony with the heavenly beings who first announced Christ's birth. As we sing carols and hymns, we are reminded of that holy night in Bethlehem when the sky was lit with a heavenly host proclaiming the birth of the Savior. This music, a central part of our Christmas celebration, is more than mere melody. It is a profound expression of our joy and gratitude for the birth of Jesus Christ. Indeed, God has given us the most magnificent gift imaginable, His own Son. This gift, wrapped not in gold or silver, but in swaddling clothes and laid in a humble manger, was the embodiment of divine love and grace. In Jesus, we find the fulfillment of God's promise, a promise that extends to all of humanity the offer of salvation and eternal life. As we celebrate His birth, we do so with hearts full of gratitude and spirits uplifted, knowing that through Him, we have received the greatest gift of all. Romans 8:32-34, from the Common English Bible: "Those whom God decided in advance to be conformed to His Son, He also called. Those whom He called, He also justified. Those whom He justified, He also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all. Will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. We joyfully receive this greatest gift of all, Yeshua, the Son of God. What can we offer in return? God expects nothing less than for us to dedicate our lives to Him, allowing Him to assist and guide us." How modest a gesture it is then for us to give something to one another, sharing in the joys of receiving this ultimate gift from God. The supreme gift through Jesus the Christ enables us to have a covenant relationship with the Father. This gift offers us the chance to stand out in the crowd, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. As Peter proclaimed about the baby boy Jesus, who was born to be crucified, in Yitr, Acts 2:36-40, from the Complete Jewish Bible: "Therefore, let the whole house of Israel know for certain that God has made Him both Lord and Messiah, this Yeshua, whom you crucified." Hearing this, they were deeply convicted and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent, return to God, and each of you be baptized in the name of Yeshua, the Messiah, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Ruach HaKodesh. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to Himself." With many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Jesus himself articulated this in John 14, 15, 17 from the Amplified Bible. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. O Holy Blessed Lord Jesus, we continue to receive. We received Christ from God our Father. We received his Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, through him, the Advocate, Helper, Intercessor, Counselor, Strengthener, and Standby. We are immensely blessed to be in this relationship with Christ, so much so that, as I mentioned earlier, I cannot fathom a life without him. Then, why is it so challenging for some of our brothers and sisters to lay down their weapons, to start searching within their own hearts and find common ground, to have the ability to reach across that common ground to the spirit of another person and lead them to become a new believer in Christ? In doing so, we are walking and acting in the commandment of Christ, which we refer to as the Great Commission. We are called to go out into the world and make new disciples. Isn't this what Christmas is all about? Spreading love, sharing the riches we have received in Christ? Why are people criticized for displaying a nativity scene in the public square or even in their own yard? Why are Christians attacking other Christians for having a Christmas tree or exchanging gifts? Is it because some druid, centuries ago, celebrated life and virility around an evergreen tree? I am not that druid. You are not that druid. So who are you, in your right mind, to associate me with that figure? You have all heard why we have a tree in our homes, why we illuminate our houses with lights, and why we celebrate, then celebrate some more. It is because the Christ child has given us life. The Christ child has illuminated our lives and given us a reason to live. God's timing is always perfect, and there is a reason and a time for everything. We see this world as it was depicted in the story of Sodom and Gomorrah when Abraham pleaded for the lives of his family members. Will you save this city if... And even then, God saved those who knew him and his name. In the same way, God will save those who know him now. John 3:16 from the Amplified Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. He sacrificed his own Son to save you, to save me. He gave up his own Son, the one we celebrate today. He gave up his own Son so that whoever believes in him shall not face eternal death, but will have eternal life. This is what we commemorate through the birth and death of Christ, a covenant relationship with God the Father and eternal life within him. It is not about the lights, not about the gifts, not about the tree. We cannot outgive God, nor can we offer a greater love or shine a brighter light. What we can do is be a mirror of his love, a reflection of his light, and an embodiment of his compassion during these dark days of December. Jesus, or Yeshua, as we call him in Hebrew, came to earth, born as a babe. He came not to destroy the established order or the covenants of God, but to fulfill them, and in doing so, established a new blood covenant through which we all can be savored from the darkness of December and step into the eternal light of life. This covenant, signed and sealed with his blood, is the ultimate goal of our celebration, forever new, forever fresh, forever alive in Christ, in HaMashiach, in the babe, the Son of God, born of Mary. Amen.
Be sure to share the podcast on your favorite social media channels.
Representing Jesus Christ and his everlasting word. Just as the evergreen remains vibrant and alive throughout the harshest winters, so too does the message and promise of Christ endure. It does not succumb to the darkness of this world, for Christ himself is the eternal light that dispels all shadows. His word, eternally alive and unchanging, offers the same hope and truth today as it did 2 millennia ago, and it will continue to do so for all time. In this season of celebration, we deck our halls with boughs of holly, their vibrant green leaves and bright red berries, reminding us of the everlasting life and sacrificial love of Christ. The holly serves as a symbol of his enduring presence, a reminder that even in the depths of winter, life prevails. As we adorn our homes, we not only beautify our surroundings, but also create a visual testament to our faith and the joyous nature of this season. Gathered in elegance and warmth, we come together around the hearth. The warmth of the fire kindles in us, a reminder of the warmth of God's love, enveloping and comforting us. It's in these moments, surrounded by family and loved ones, that we truly grasp the essence of the season. Fellowship, love, and the celebration of the greatest gift ever given. We are called to join the angelic chorus, to raise our voices in harmony with the heavenly beings who first announced Christ's birth. As we sing carols and hymns, we are reminded of that holy night in Bethlehem when the sky was lit with a heavenly host proclaiming the birth of the Savior. This music, a central part of our Christmas celebration, is more than mere melody. It is a profound expression of our joy and gratitude for the birth of Jesus Christ. Indeed, God has given us the most magnificent gift imaginable, his own Son. This gift, wrapped not in gold or silver, but in swaddling clothes and laid in a humble manger, was the embodiment of divine love and grace. In Jesus, we find the fulfillment of God's promise, a promise that extends to all of humanity the offer of salvation and eternal life. As we celebrate his birth, we do so with hearts full of gratitude and spirits uplifted, knowing that through him, we have received the greatest gift of all. Romans 8:32-34 from the Common English Bible. Those whom God decided in advance to be conformed to his Son, he also called. Those whom he called, he also justified. Those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all. Will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. We joyfully receive this greatest gift of all, Yeshua, the Son of God. What can we offer in return? God expects nothing less than for us to dedicate our lives to him, allowing him to assist and guide us. How modest a gesture it is then for us to give something to one another, sharing in the joys of receiving this ultimate gift from God. The supreme gift through Jesus the Christ enables us to have a covenant relationship with the Father. This gift offers us the chance to stand out in the crowd, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. As Peter proclaimed about the baby boy Jesus, who was born to be crucified, in Yitr, Acts 2:36-40 from the Complete Jewish Bible. Therefore, let the whole house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Yeshua, whom you crucified. Hearing this, they were deeply convicted and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent, return to God, and each of you be baptized in the name of Yeshua, the Messiah, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Ruach HaKodesh. But the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. With many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Jesus himself articulated this in John 14, 15-17 from the Amplified Bible. "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." O Holy Blessed Lord Jesus, we continue to receive. We received Christ from God our Father. We received his Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, through him, the Advocate, Helper, Intercessor, Counselor, Strengthener, and Standby. We are immensely blessed to be in this relationship with Christ, so much so that, as I mentioned earlier, I cannot fathom a life without him. Then, why is it so challenging for some of our brothers and sisters to lay down their weapons, to start searching within their own hearts and find common ground, to have the ability to reach across that common ground to the spirit of another person and lead them to become a new believer in Christ? In doing so, we are walking and acting in the commandment of Christ, which we refer to as the Great Commission. We are called to go out into the world and make new disciples. Isn't this what Christmas is all about? Spreading love, sharing the riches we have received in Christ? Why are people criticized for displaying a nativity scene in the public square or even in their own yard? Why are Christians attacking other Christians for having a Christmas tree or exchanging gifts? Is it because some druid, centuries ago, celebrated life and virility around an evergreen tree? I am not that druid. You are not that druid. So who are you, in your right mind, to associate me with that figure? You have all heard why we have a tree in our homes, why we illuminate our houses with lights, and why we celebrate, then celebrate some more. It is because the Christ child has given us life. The Christ child has illuminated our lives and given us a reason to live. God's timing is always perfect, and there is a reason and a time for everything. We see this world as it was depicted in the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, when Abraham pleaded for the lives of his family members. "Will you save this city if..." And even then, God saved those who knew him and his name. In the same way, God will save those who know him now. John 3:16 from the Amplified Bible. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. He sacrificed his own Son to save you, to save me. He gave up his own Son, the one we celebrate today. He gave up his own Son so that whoever believes in him shall not face eternal death, but will have eternal life. This is what we commemorate through the birth and death of Christ, a covenant relationship with God the Father and eternal life within him. It is not about the lights, not about the gifts, not about the tree. We cannot outgive God, nor can we offer a greater love or shine a brighter light. What we can do is be a mirror of his love, a reflection of his light, and an embodiment of his compassion during these dark days of December. Jesus, or Yeshua, as we call him in Hebrew, came to earth, born as a babe. He came not to destroy the established order or the covenants of God, but to fulfill them, and in doing so, established a new blood covenant through which we all can be savored from the darkness of December and step into the eternal light of life. This covenant, signed and sealed with his blood, is the ultimate goal of our celebration, forever new, forever fresh, forever alive in Christ, in HaMashiach, in the babe, the Son of God, born of Mary.
Amen.
Be sure to share the podcast on your favorite social media channels.